to financial freedom. And the goal here is that God ordained a certain order of how we're supposed to experience financial freedom in our life, and that is that God is the master. He is the owner of everything. He's created everything. Everything that we have belongs to him, and we want to have an open hand to him and just say thank you. We are the stewards. We've actually been entrusted with God's stuff to manage it for him, and we want to be the kind of stewards that we would actually hire ourselves out because we're so good with God's money. And the last thing is that money is to be the slave. The money tells, we tell the money what to do. It does what we say it should do. And so many times why we don't experience financial freedom is we reverse this order in our society where money is the master and God ends up being the slave. So we're talking about financial freedom, and today we're going to continue with the topic of how do I dump my debt. Now, do you guys remember your first experience with a credit card? I actually do, because it was a really funny story. It wasn't my credit card, which is what's funny about this. The details are fuzzy because I was very young. I think I was somewhere in junior high school, and my dad needed me to pick up something from a store, and he had called the store ahead of time to say that I was coming and that he was going to give me his credit card to go buy something. So he worked it out, and his instructions to me were this. He said, John, here's my credit card. There's $50 left on this card. When you buy the product, I don't even remember what it was, make sure it's $50 or less. Okay. So I went to the store. I found the lady my dad talked to. I bought whatever it was. I gave her the card. She scanned it. It was under $50. All was well. I came home. I got home. My dad wasn't home, and I still had his credit card, and I was thinking, my dad said there's only $50 left, and I just spent about $50. I guess it's trash. So I threw it away. I had no idea how credit cards worked. I thought it was like a gift card, $50 left. It's done. So I threw it away, and then a couple days later, my dad kind of forgot, but a couple days later, he realized he didn't have his credit card. So he said, John, what did you do with my credit card? Well, Dad, you said there was only $50 left, and I spent it, so I threw it away. And why this memory is so vivid is because his face is still in my head. The wide eyes, the dropped mouth, and I just remember him scouring our garbage cans trying to find the credit card. It didn't happen. He had to cancel it. That was my first memory of a credit card. My second memory of borrowing in any big way was actually from my sister. I had just graduated from college. I had no job, and I didn't know what to do. I was paying rent. I had utilities to pay. So I called my sister. I said, hey, Christy, do you think I should ask my dad and mom for a loan? Just to help me get started. My sister said, no, don't do that. I know mom and dad, they'll be upset. I will let you borrow money from me. Now, my sister is 4.5 years younger than me, but she was able to loan me thousands of dollars. So I don't know how that works. So I spent my first year out of college writing a monthly check to her, just paying that off. And I remember the last check I wrote to her. Writing it, mailing it, putting it in the mailbox and thinking, freedom. It's done. It's over. It's not hanging over me anymore. I want to do a little imagination exercise with you. So what I want you to do is close your eyes for a moment. And I won't do anything mean to you, so you can trust me. Close your eyes. And in your head right now, I want you to think of all the debt you currently have. All your credit card payments, your home mortgage, school loans, car loans. Put it all together and think of all those payments you have. Now imagine you get a call from each of those companies and they call you and say, someone has arranged for us to cancel your debt. And you get several calls in a row in one day all saying the same thing. Your debt has been canceled. Your pay is the same, but you have no more payments. Okay, open your eyes. How did that feel? Wonderful. A relief. Yeah, dancing, hands up, high fives. What if I told you that's what God wants for you? We're going to read scripture today about what to do with debt. We all have it, And yet God has a plan for us to be free of it. So what I want to do is we usually rise when we read scripture. So why don't we all stand? If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 15, verse 1. Deuteronomy 15, verse 1. I will go ahead and read. You guys can listen, but let's stand because we believe God's word is inspired and has authority in our lives. Deuteronomy 15. If you don't have it, it will be projected on the screen. We also do have free Bibles in case you need one on your way out. Please feel free to just pick one up and it's yours. We want you to have the word of God in your home. You guys ready? Deuteronomy 15, verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. Hey, I like that. This is how it's to be done. Every creditor shall cancel the loan he has made to his fellow Israelite. He shall not require payment from his fellow Israelite or brother, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. Can you imagine that? Every 7 years, all your debts canceled. I like this plan. Do you like this? Verse 3, you may require payment from a foreigner. Oh, bummer. But you must cancel any debt your brother owes you. However, there should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. Let me pray for us. Lord, I come in with debt, and I would imagine that most of us do, Lord. And we just pray, God, we want your financial freedom. And for many of us, the debt we're in is bondage, and we want to be free. And I pray, Lord, this would be such a hopeful time for us, God, that you would help us look at the situation we're in and begin to see that there actually is hope and you have a plan for us. Lord, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word, that our hearts would be soft and our ears would be open, and that you would richly bless us through your word. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. The passage we just read is very interesting. God is speaking to his people, the Israelites, as they're about to start a new nation. And he begins to define the credit system. Now, here's the thing. Debt is not sin. Okay? Getting into debt is not sin. But what God is saying is that when you are in debt, it has some consequences that don't feel very good. And so God is saying to his new nation, people are going to get into debt, but I do not want you to have that debt hanging over you. So every 7 years, you've got to cancel debts to one another and start with a clean slate. Yes, people are going to get into debt, but debt is so enslaving. I want you to have the freedom of, as a new nation following me, not having any of that hang over you. And then he says to this new nation, I am going to richly bless you so that you are going to lend to many nations, but you will never have to borrow from them. And then he follows us up with, you will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. And God connects debt and rulership together because debt can be very enslaving. Amen? In fact, if you're taking notes, that's our first point. The Bible equates debt with slavery. The Bible equates debt with slavery. See, God wants us to experience financial freedom, the joy of being free. But one thing that reverses the order of God as master, ourselves as stewards, and money as slave, is debt begins to reverse that order where money becomes the master, and it's no fun. It feels like there's a huge burden over us. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the what? Slave of the lender. I'm going to ask Mike to come up for a second. I know Mike, so don't be worried here. Sorry about this. Yeah, not too tight, please. Yeah. I'm not going to reveal my history here. Debt does this. I want to retire, but I can't. My hands are tied. I want to move, but I can't.
my hands are tied. I want to start a family, but I can't. My payments are killing me. I want to be with my kids. I just moved, but I can't because debt has just enslaved me. And while it's not a sin to get into debt, don't hear me wrong. The Bible never calls debt a sin, but what it does say is that debt holds you down and enslaves you. And God said when he created his nation, he said, I want you guys to be debt-free. If you get into debt, I want to create a system to get you out of it. And so we're going to talk about that today. Now, right now, we're going to see if Mike is really my friend or not. Mike, will you uncuff me? Yeah. In case you guys don't know, Mike's a cop, so he knows how to do this stuff. Yeah. Luckily, we're on good terms. Woof. This is taking longer than I expected. Thank you, Mike. Let's give Mike a hand because he uncuffed me. So we've got to have a mindset that says, I don't want to be held down by anything. I only want one master in my life, and I want that to be God. I don't want debt to be my master, and I want to see what I can do with my current debt to get out of it, to be free, to be financially free. Let me ask you a question. If all your debt was canceled today, if you had no debt payments, but you had the same income, what are your top two dreams that you would do with your extra income right now? You just take a moment to write that down. What are some things that you would just wish you could do if you were free? Got it? Let's hold on to that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend the remainder of our time talking about how to dump our debt. Now, for some of us, we're in so much debt, the idea of getting out of it just seems impossible. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to stop getting into debt, how to get out of it. In particular, right now, I'm going to be talking about credit card debt. That seems to be, in our society, one of the greatest amounts of debt with the highest interest. We're going to talk about home mortgages a little bit later because that's a very big issue right now for us as well. But primarily as I'm talking, we're talking about credit card debt or debt similar to that. The question is, if I want to be free and experience God's financial freedom, if I want to keep God's ordained order the same where he's the master and money is the slave where I tell it what to do, how do I get rid of my debt? What does the Bible say about that? So here we go. You guys ready for this? Okay, number one is to stop borrowing. You're actually coming to church for this, huh? Stop borrowing. The Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In other words, we only have room for one master, and debt tends to make money the master. And you've got to just say, I want to be done with that. I only want to have one master. And so one of the keys is to stop borrowing. You know, your debt may feel like a huge flood in your kitchen, but the first thing to do about that flood is not try to remove the water, but try to figure out where the leak is and stop the leak. In fact, this happened, a couple years ago. My wife and I woke up one morning, and our floor was flooded from underneath. We had no idea what was going on. I called Jared. I said, Jared, come over here. And his first question was, where's the leak coming from? My floor is flooded. Where's the leak coming from? Where's the leak coming from? Because no matter what we do with the floor, if we don't figure out where the source is coming from, our floor is going to still be damaged. The first thing was to stop the leak. That's what we're talking about when we say stop borrowing. You're trying to stop the leak. Yeah, you may have a flood, but it doesn't do any good to work on the flood until you figure out where the source of that flood is coming from. For some of you, that may mean cutting up your credit card. Yeah. For some of you, it might mean maybe using your debit card instead, depending on your patterns with your credit card. This isn't true for all of us, but you've got to know where the flood is coming from for you. Where do you tend to get into debt and you want to stop that leak? Some of you might want to start using cash. Becky and I have been doing that. It's been helpful. There's no one prescribed way, But the goal is you want to stop the leak and figure out where is it that I tend to borrow the easiest, and I want to stop that. Secondly, we need to follow a payment system. Follow a payment system. You know, it's great. The leak is closed, but what do I do about the flood? What do I do with the debt I currently have? I feel in over my head. It's overwhelming. What do I do? We've got to follow a payment system. Romans 13:8 says, let no debt remain outstanding. And what God is saying here is that while debt is, again, is not a sin, you're not sinning by getting the debt, the idea is it enslaves you and you want to get rid of it as quick as possible. Because God wants you to experience freedom of not having that hang over you. And so you've got to have a plan in place where you see the flood that you're in and you think, how am I going to deal with this? And, you know, do you suck out the water first? What is it? And you begin to find a system of how am I going to get rid of the debt I have? Now, the Bible doesn't have any prescribed way of getting out of debt. But here's what we can do. Since we have freedom, the Bible gives the big principles, but we have freedom of figuring out the way to get out of debt. Here's what I do whenever I want to figure out how to do something. I ask around people who've done it before me. I look for people who've actually gone out of debt. How did you do it? What system did you use? Teach me. And so there's some freedom to look around and say, God, are there people out there who are getting out of debt right now? And what can I do to actually follow their plans? Now, one tool for you, if you're looking at your notes, is called the debt snowball method. It's used by a guy named Dave Ramsey. And I know some people in our church who are using it right now. And if you go on our website, edgewaterchurch.org/freedom, you'll see the forms for that. But the idea here is you list all your debts, everything you owe, from the smallest balance to the biggest balance. You get all on paper. You pay the minimum payments of all your debts, but you put all your extra money into that smallest debt and get that paid off. Once you pay that off, you use the money you're putting in that small one and you go to the next level. And you keep doing it to snowball because your payments get bigger and bigger and bigger. Hundreds of thousands of people in our country are currently using that system and are getting out of debt. Is it like the only way? No. You know, you can use whatever system you want. But the idea is you want to look for people who are getting out of debt and follow a payment system to actually take real steps to get out of debt. Here's the third way to get out of debt. Increase your income. Increase your income. Yeah, like, duh. This first spot on the side. There are side jobs you might want to take. You know, garage sales, things you can sell, things you can do on the side with your jobs where you're trying to think, I want to get as much income as I can to throw at this debt and get it out of my face. Proverbs 28:19 says, he who works his land, he who works hard, will have abundant food. But the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. And the idea here is that when we try to be creative and work hard, God will provide other income to try to pay off the debt. Here's my challenge for you. Let's put our home mortgages aside, credit card. I want you to make paying off your credit card debt your top priority. I want you to make it your top priority so that every time you get a gift, say a cash gift for your birthday or Christmas, instead of saying, cool, I can finally get the TV, I want you to say, I'm going to go pay off my debt with that. I want you to be vigilant these next few years and think through, what can I do to get this evil master off of my shoulders so I can experience freedom? And I'm going to be vigilant about that and think of ways to creatively increase my income so that I can put it to that so I can be free. Now, here's the thing. The people who are getting out of debt, it's not overnight. It's not like you wake up and say, hey, I want to get out of debt. The next day, woohoo, freedom. They work at it for years, often like 3 years in a row. But it's just a focused time of saying, I want to be free. And every spare change I get is going to go towards that so I can experience God's freedom in this area. I want that master, that evil master, away from me. In your job, there might be ways to increase your income. Be the best employee you can be. Make it so that when there is a job promotion coming up in your company, people think of you. Work hard so that your employer knows that you care as much about the job as he or she does. Be a good employee, and who knows what God will do with that. Okay. Let's talk about home mortgages. I am upside down in my house. We borrowed way too much money, and I regret that decision, and we're trying to work it out with the bank right now what to do. And so the question is, how are we supposed to afford homes if we don't go into debt? And the reality is, most of us, unless you're very rich, cannot afford to buy a home without getting into some debt, right? Are we on the same page there? We are in a situation, obviously economically, where so many people are hurting because they overborrowed, myself included. This is not a judgment. I made the same mistake. What do we do about that? You know, we try to work out with the bank, but I want to talk to those of you who are not in a home loan right now. I think what this last thing revealed to us is that when we get into home debt, it's so easy to bite off more than we can chew. It's so easy to let our eyes be our guide as to what we can afford. It's so easy to think, okay, what can I afford payment-wise, but not think about the bigger debt of what we're getting into. It's so easy to do that because we don't know how to act our wage and live simply, and I am guilty of this as well. So if you are going to get into debt for a home mortgage, what I want to encourage you is to keep it simple. Keep the loan simple. Make it so you can pay it off in a reasonable amount of time. Make it so that it doesn't, you don't become house poor where you have so much debt that you can't do anything else in your life. The idea is if you're going to have to go into debt, keep it simple. Keep it low. Keep it easy because you don't want that to be a slave or a master for you. I was in Starbucks just a few days ago. I call it my third office now. And a friend I hadn't seen in several months sat down next to me. We just started talking, and he brought up the whole home mortgage situation we're in here in our area. And he told me a very fascinating story. He said that he used to work with a guy who had eight other brothers and sisters, so a family of nine kids. And I don't know how they got this idea, whether it was their parents or they got together and thought of this, but what they did is all nine of them began to chip into a common account. Every month, they would put lots of money into a common account. Once they reached a certain amount, the oldest child took all that money and bought a house in cash. Wow. But he kept putting money into this account. And so now all the siblings are continuing to put money in the account, and once they got to that level again, the second person bought a house in cash. And they did this over and over again until all nine siblings had homes with no debt. Now, I know that very few of us have nine brothers and sisters. And I know those of you who do, and you guys don't all get along, so this may not work. But what it does reveal is a creativity of, do I really have to get into a lot of debt? And so what it does is just makes me think, are there ways to really think through it, and so that you're being creative and trying to think through, how do I live in such a way that debt is minimal in my life, so I experience the joy of freedom, of being able to move when God calls me to move, be able to give to a generous cause when God calls me to give to a generous cause, be able to start a family when God wants me to start a family, rather than feeling handcuffed the whole time. Okay, there's my spiel on home mortgages. Amen? The last thing I want to share that we often ignore when it comes to getting out of debt is number four, to simply pray. Pray. For those of you in growth groups, in your growth group homework, you're going to read through 2 Kings chapter 4, which is just an amazing story of a woman who was in severe, severe debt. And God asked her to take some steps to get out of this debt. But in the midst of that, he blesses her and provides her with more than she could ever imagine to get out of the debt. And sometimes we forget that God actually honors our faithful steps and will provide for us in ways that we could never imagine if we just simply ask him. Say, God, will you help me? I am in over my head. I see no hope. But God, I promise I will take steps on my end, but I need your help to provide so I can get through this. I've spoken with so many people these past couple weeks as we've been going through the series, and they've been saying things like, I wish we knew this earlier. I wish we wouldn't have gotten into so many mistakes that we got into. And there's kind of, there can be a feeling of despair of, oh, well, I guess it's over for me. I am in so much debt. I am so in over my head. My finances are such a shamble. Oh, well, I just need to pull it through. And you forget that you worship a God who provides. You forget that you worship the God who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the master of everything, and he holds everything in his hands. And sometimes we just need to be obedient and ask him for help, and he will surprise us in amazing ways of income we never expected, gifts that we never expected, to pay down, to get out of debt. And sometimes we just need to ask and pray. I want you to get this. What matters to God is less the mistakes all of us have made in the past. What matters to him is if we're being faithful today. What matters to him is how are we stewarding the money he's giving us today. Faithful with a little. And when God sees that, when he sees that we're being faithful, he blesses that in miraculous ways and takes us to the next level. My sons are 6 and 4, and we just started paying them for their chores. You know, I think they get like, if they do all their chores, it's like $5, you know, really big. And what we're trying to teach them is that they should put some aside, at least 10% aside, to give to God. They call it the giving envelope. And so once a month, they put this money in, and once a month, I take it and put it in the Edgewater envelope. And so I want you guys to know that last week, they gave $10 to Edgewater. Yeah, really big. Now, let me just tell you, does that make a significant difference in our budget? Not really, not really. But does it make a significant difference to God? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they were faithful with the little they had. I don't care if you're making $2 a week right now. Be faithful with what God is giving you today. And watch him bless that. Watch him bless that. That's what matters to him, is what you're doing today with what he's given you. Don't fall into the lie that Satan would want you to believe, that I have so messed up my financial life, it's in shambles, there is no hope. Even if I started now, it wouldn't do anything. Do not believe that. God wants you to be faithful today with what he's been giving you, what he's given you, and watch him in his miraculous way provide and do something. When Becky and I got serious about paying off car debt, all of a sudden we got all these gifts from people. But he didn't give those gifts to us before we decided to pay off the car debt. But something happened. We said, let's make a system. Let's put in the place. We're going to stop doing this and get out of this. And all of a sudden we were able to do it because we were being faithful, but also God provided in ways that we could have never done on our own. Now, I know some of you are sitting here thinking, this is all great, but my spouse isn't on board, Pastor John. What do I do? Can I steal from his bank account or her bank account? No. You do need to be on the same page with your spouse. And if your spouse is not on the same page, do not nag him or her. Do not make them feel guilty. What you need to do is just love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Be faithful with your realm of influence financially. And trust that as you love God, your spouse, whether husband or wife, will catch on that God is working in your life, and we want to pray that they come alongside too. But don't nag. That will just throw them away. They won't ever want to come to God. But love them. Be a faithful follower of Jesus. And be faithful with the realm that you have financially. It's about experiencing God's financial freedom. Experiencing the freedom of paying a relative back, of getting out of credit card debt, of the joy of being able to give when we want to give, of the joy of being able to move when we feel God is calling us to move, of the joy of being with family when God is calling us to be with family, of the joy of saying, God, I want you to be my master and not money anymore. I want to be free. God, will you help me? And so we take the steps. We stop borrowing. We figure out how, what we're going to do on our end, and we pray like crazy that God will provide and take us to the next level. Obedience together with prayer. Obedience together with prayer. He is the master, we are the stewards, and money is the slave. I find it interesting that when God became human through Jesus Christ came to earth, and he had to think of some image that you and I would understand to describe God forgiving our sins. He's like, what would I use to talk about the experience of God forgiving sins? What image could I use that people understand? And he came up with it. It's like canceling a debt. It's like canceling a debt. That's what it's like when God forgives our sins. And do you ever notice, and I'm not sure if you notice that, but if you've ever loaned money to someone and they can't pay you back, do you notice that they tend to avoid you after a while? I had no idea. I found out years ago, there's a buddy in a Bible study I was leading, loved the guy, really good guy. He opened it up to me that he was in a lot of, you know, financial trouble. And I said, hey, if you ever need some money to borrow, please let me know. And so a week or two later, he said, yeah, you know, this is really embarrassing, but can I borrow $250? I said, let me talk to my wife. I'll get back to you. I talked to Becky. She said, sure. And so we wrote him a check for $250 and said, I hope this takes care of your problems. Well, the weeks went by. About a month or two later, he stopped coming to Bible study. And I wasn't angry. I was curious. But his girlfriend was still going. So after a few more weeks, I asked her, where is your boyfriend? I haven't seen him in weeks. And she looked at me, and she's like, she's kind of embarrassed. She's like, you know, he doesn't want me to tell you this, but he is so embarrassed he can't pay you back. He doesn't want to see you. And I told her, that is so silly. All he has to do is says he can't pay me back. I'll cancel the debt. I mean, his friendship, that relationship is worth more to me than $250. Why is he avoiding me over this? I mean, isn't that silly? He could have just asked for help. I would have totally gotten rid of that. But I bet some of you here are doing the exact same thing with God. That because of the sin that you feel you have in your life, you just don't want to face him right now. You feel like you owe him a debt that you can never repay. And so your way of dealing with it is just, I'm not going to face God right now. I'm too guilty. I'm too ashamed. And do you know how much God wants relationship with you? He is probably thinking right now, how silly. I would gladly cancel that debt to have a relationship with you. I would so much want to cancel that debt to have a relationship with you that I will send my son to die on a cross to cancel that debt for you to have a relationship with you. Do you know how much God loves you? He wants your heart, not your money. He wants your devotion. And I have found the people who are most devoted to God are those who have been forgiven most. The people who feel the most love for God are those who have experienced God canceling the most sin of their lives. So this is what I want to encourage you to do this morning, is to ask God to cancel your debt. It's what Jesus prayed. He taught us to pray. He said, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So as we work on getting rid of the debts we owe, I don't want us to forget that we owe a big debt that only God can cancel. So I want to use this moment right now to pray for the spiritual debt we owe. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I just pray right now that as I imagine, Lord, as we are talking about this, there's just a lot of struggle, a lot of fear, a lot of pain. And Lord, I pray right now that you would give us the hope and the joy of knowing that you want financial freedom for us. And it's not on our own to obtain that, Lord, but we can ask you for help. So my prayer this morning, God, is that many of us would do all we can to get rid of our debt, so that we can experience the financial freedom that you plan for us. Lord, I pray that there's some people here today who would feel such a strong conviction from you that they would actually leave today and begin to think seriously about a plan to get out of debt. God, I pray for those who borrow so much, not realizing that they're hurting themselves, God, that they would come to an awareness of wanting the freedom you have for us. And Lord, I want to pray those right now who are struggling with a much different kind of debt, but it's a debt of sin and a need of forgiveness from you. Lord, if there are people here right now who are so afraid to approach you because of all the wrong they've done in their lives, of all the mistakes they've made in their lives, God, I pray that through your Spirit you would give them the boldness to approach you right now and ask you for forgiveness. Ask you to cancel the debt. And if you're in that boat right now, I want to give you an opportunity to ask God for forgiveness. You can pray this prayer just between you and God. It goes like this. God, I have made so many mistakes in my life. I'm ashamed. I feel guilty. And I've been afraid of approaching you. But this morning, God, I want to bring all my pain to you. And I ask you to forgive me for all that I've done. Cleanse me from the inside out. God, I need you in me so I can live the life you want me to live, because I can't do it on my own. God, God, I want you to be my master. I want you to be my leader. So God, forgive me today. I want to make this day a special one where I give my life to you. And if you pray that prayer, I want you to know that the angels in heaven, the Bible says the angels in heaven are rejoicing over anyone who repents. And that you are forgiven, that your confession cleans you. And that God has given you his spirit in you because you can't, none of us can live the life he wants us to live without his help. And so now you have God in you, working to perfect you. It's going to be a long road, a struggle, but he is with you and he's providing you a church community today. So rejoice, rejoice. And so, Lord, we pray all these things in your great name. Amen. Amen.